Hey, this is April 8th.
If it's to me, it's up to me. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. And I hope that that is sinking in, that you're learning that about yourselves, and that your consciousness is growing all the time. With that said, I want to do this, of course, as always, from Daily Word. And this was last Friday, and I thought it was very good. So I'll go over it quickly. God is my source and resource. I am guided to my good. When I visit a library or browse the internet, I may see hundreds of self-help books, recordings, or movies claiming to be the one that will lead me to greater peace, health, and prosperity. Some of these are useful and offer creative ideas for establishing a more fulfilling life. While I may find them helpful, my most reliable resource is God within. I think I've told you that so many times. There are hundreds of books out there. You can read every one of those books, but you're going to have to rely on yourself. And that is the whole idea behind this month of, if it is to be, it is up to me. You can read those things, but your inner voice, this thing that we call God that is within you, is your resource. And you can go to that without reading any book whatsoever. I told you the story of Aunt Catherine, who lived to be 96, and she was a wonderful person, always in the best of moods. And I said to her one day, Aunt Catherine, how do you do that? She said, well, Dallas, I control my thinking. She never read a self-help book in her life. She never went to church. Well, when she was a child, she went to church. And she certainly never studied metaphysics. But she figured it out herself. Because inside of us, it is in there. You can ask yourself. We all know what is good for us, what we should be doing or shouldn't be doing. You do not have to read a book for that. They can be helpful. The Science of Mind book is helpful. All those books are helpful. But when it boils down to anything, you have to do it. So rely on yourself. God is the all-knowing presence within and around me. God is the source of my confidence and creativity. God is the healing energy and strength in my mind and body. God within guides me to prosperous opportunities. God is my source and my resource, the truth that leads me on the path of good. So remember that you have all the things inside of you, and you have this divinity inside of you. You're one with this thing that we call God. So use that. I know so many people, they can't wait till the next self-help book comes out so that they can read it and find something new and marvelous out. You already know that stuff. Give up the idea that you don't know. Say to yourself, I've already graduated. Say to yourself, I know these things. And start doing it. We're always putting off. We're waiting for something new, for another aha experience or something to happen. Instead of saying, I am whole and complete and perfect right here and right now, and I know what I'm doing. I do not need to read another Wayne Dyer book. I do not need. All right. Now, with that said, of course, that everything is within us and that we're one with this thing called God. This is a wonderful thing that somebody introduced me to, and you can see it's called the Spiritual Dynamics Academy. And it is right up our, it's our teaching. And you can get it on the internet. And it wants you to take a 30-day challenge here. Now, we do know that it usually takes from 21 to 30 days for you to be able to change your mind. That they do. And they use 21 days, of course, because of the chicken and the egg, you know. It takes 21 days for a peep to develop inside of the egg. So they have always used 21 days or 30 days for changing your mind about something. So anyway, this is a little challenge. Now, I'm not going to read all four pages here, but I highlighted some things that I'm going to go over quickly so that you can see that it is our teaching. And here's one of them. Can you believe the truth about the enormous spiritual power that resides within you? The truth is, we all have that power within us. Can you believe the truth about the enormous spiritual power that resides within you? We talk about that all the time, or I talk about that all the time, but you have to keep reminding yourself of that. You have to keep reminding yourself that the power is within you. That the power is within you. We are taught, since we were children, that the power is always outside of us. We are also taught that we are powerless. We are not powerless. We are one with this thing called God. Every person is a unique facet of the same all-pervasive intelligence. You are not connected to God or all that is like an add-on modality. You are God in expression, because everything in existence is the mind of God. Everything in existence is the mind of God. That's why we say in this teaching, I move, live, and have my being in the mind of God. I live and move and have my being in the mind of God. Now, your mind may need time to get used to the true nature of the divinity within you, but that alone is no barrier to success. It takes time, people. You hear this all the time. I have to sit down and remind myself. Remember, your mind is very convincing, and so is the world out there. So you have to sit down and know that it may take time for this truth. But you have to keep doing it until you absolutely realize the truth of your being. And that truth, of course, is that you are one and the same as this thing called God or the power itself. When you enter a significantly higher state of consciousness, life challenges become transformed. You must raise your consciousness. Remember what Albert Einstein said? You cannot solve a problem using the same mind that caused it. That's paraphrased, by the way. You have to think differently. So you have to say to yourself, I'm moving up in consciousness. How else are you going to do that? I say to myself, what would God do in a situation like this? How would God look at this? And when I have a problem, I say to myself, that's a human problem. It has nothing to do with me whatsoever. I'm spiritual. That's a human problem. We don't want to talk about human problems. There are a lot of human problems out there. But you have to raise up to a spiritual solution to the human problem. The primary purpose of this spiritualized technique is to give you a way to anchor your mind in the reality within at any time of the day. To anchor yourself. Many people have no technique. They never anchor their mind. They let their mind just wander here, there, and everywhere. You have to have a technique to be able to keep your mind stayed. And we don't do that enough. So we let our minds go this way and that way. When I first was in this teaching, when I first started to teach, I told people, and I'll tell you this also, You have to become familiar with one technique. Many people get into the science of mind, but then they want to go here, there, everywhere. They want to, oh, well, this says this, this, this. You have to have a discipline that you absolutely know before you can start delving in other disciplines. Otherwise, it's just a big mess out there. So get one technique for yourself. Keep to that technique. Then you can add to it. But many people will not learn one technique. They want, oh, well, that didn't work. I tried that for 7 days. Now let me read this book, or let me hear what he has to say, or let me go over here, and let me go over there. You're not going to get this teaching that way. You have to have a firm foundation. A firm foundation. There's a wonderful proverb in the Bible that says, build your house on a firm foundation. And that means build your mind on a firm foundation. Many people build their homes on sand. And you cannot do that the same way you cannot build your consciousness on airy-fairy ideas, people. You must have a firm foundation to think from. And what would be one of the firm foundations to think? Immediately you have to say, I am one with God. I and God are one and the same. I and God are one and the same. There's no other thing going. If you say God and me or whatever, what is that? Separation. That's duality. You cannot have it. All right. Now, the principles of spiritual technique. You are one with God. Now, that is exactly what we teach in science of mind, and that's exactly the first step in treatment. The first step of treatment is always you must be one with God. And then you can start your treatment. Many people start a treatment. Doesn't work. Why doesn't my treatment work? Because you must anchor yourself in God first. You must know that you're one with God. The universe is completely benevolent. You must get that through your consciousness, that the universe that you live in is benevolent, meaning that it is good, and the universe only wants good for you. The world is a different story, people. The world is not for you. The world does not teach success. This is when you have to say, I am in this world, but I am not of this world. I live in a universe of good. I live in a universe of good, and I live in a universe that only wants good for me, that only brings good to me. If anything that is not good is coming to you, it's not coming from the universe, and it's not coming from this thing that we call God. It is coming from your own mind, or it is coming from the world. And you can always tell that right away. You can tell that right away. If it doesn't feel good, if it doesn't look good, if it doesn't taste good, it's the world. It's the world. You have to say, the universe is for me. The universe is for me. And last week we talked about this. In any of these disciplines and so forth, and especially in science of mind, and people forget this constantly, action creates results. Action creates results. That is, if it is to be, it is up to me. You must take an action. I said last week, if I sit here in this chair and I say, I want to go into that room, I can sit here all day long and say, I want to go into that room. But if I don't get up and move and take the action to get into that room, I'm not going to be in that room. Always an action step has to be required. That also is one of the metaphysical things in the Bible when it says, God helps those who help themselves. And you've heard that probably all your life. God helps those who help themselves. You must get up and do something. Now, one of the laws in the universe is nothing for nothing. If you give nothing, you'll get nothing. It just works that way because it's a mirror you're looking into. First, now, let's go down the spiritual technique. First, detach from any thoughts of problems that need attention. Yes, get rid of all that stuff. When you're starting to do a treatment work or prayer, whatever you want to call it, you can't think about your problem. You have to think God. You have to think good universe. You have to think those things. Emmett Fox has a book out called The Golden Key. And when you have a problem, the golden key to that problem is God. You think of God. You do not think of your problem. The more you think of your problem, the more that problem grows. Okay. Focus on your breathing while your body relaxes and your mind settles into a reflective state. Breathing. So many techniques in the world teach breathing. In India, it's all about breath. In yoga, it's all about breath. It's all about breathing. In India, we call the breath, or we call the air and so forth, prana. They know that it's filled with life itself. It's filled with this thing that we call God. So you have to do something. And you know perfectly well, if you're upset, if you're nervous or something, if you sit down and breathe in and out, you can calm yourself down. Now, why is that? Because of prana, because of God. In the Bible, it also says when somebody asks, where is God? How close is God? God is as close to you as your nostrils. When I breathe in, I'm breathing in God. And when you breathe out, you're breathing out all the negativity. And you must see that. Just visualize that. I'm breathing in God. I'm breathing out negativity. And then you fill yourself with this thing we call God. This settles your mind so that you can go to the next technique here. Now, then silently make the declaration, I am in God, God is in me, God and I are one. You could do this as a mantra, an affirmation, when you have any problem. Remind yourself, I am in God, God is in me, God and I are one. Do that for yourself. This is new. I'm going to incorporate this into my spiritual discipline. The one that I do, and I gave it to you a long time ago, is I am the full expression of God's love. Just as God is love, so am I. I am love. I do that every day when I do my bowing. As I do my bowing, I let that run, that affirmation run through my mind so that I can eventually have that as a solid foundation for my thinking. So, I am in God, God is in me, and God and I are one. In unity, they have a wonderful saying, which is, there is not a spot where God is not. There is not a spot where God is not. Many people think that they have done something bad or they're out of God. That you can never be out of God. You could never be outside of God. You are in God and God is in you. I used to use a little thing. Many people want to be spiritual, and they think spirituality is in them. Like a raisin in a cookie. But you are in God like a wave in the ocean. You cannot separate a wave from the ocean. You cannot separate yourself from God. So don't look at it as a clump in here somewhere, like a raisin in a cookie. Think of it as a wave in the ocean. And I am one with that wave. I am one with that ocean. And wonderful things will happen to you. When you feel the peace of the presence, you have opened yourself to God as infinite intelligence. As infinite intelligence. Please start to think of this thing that we call God as infinite intelligence. It knows everything. It sees everything. And you can tap into that. Gary and Christine were building a new kitchen in their house, and they were looking for a blue countertop and blue stone. They finally found that blue stone. Why is that so important? Why do I bring that up? They could have not had the idea of blue stone if it did not exist, people. If you have an idea that exists in the mind of God, just because you haven't found it the first three stores or something does not mean that it does not exist. If you have any idea that comes into your mind, that means it has to exist. It would not come into your mind unless it were here. You see? And that's what you have to realize about this thing. You can't think or be anything that isn't there already. It's already there. All right. Now, you can take this home and do what you want with it, but here are the essential steps of the spiritualized technique. Focus inward. Focus inward. You see, the world wants your attention. Other people want your attention. And they want to keep you from focusing inward. You must always focus inward. Breathe into your heart chakra. Now, there are seven chakras in the body. And the heart chakra is located here at the heart, of course. That chakra is a love chakra, and you want to open that chakra up. And to do that, you can visualize. A chakra is like a... Do you remember when you were children and you had those little wind things that you held up and they... The wind, is that what they were just called? Windmill? That's pinwheel. That's what they were called, pinwheel. That's what chakras are. They're just pinwheels inside of you that circulate. They circle. They make circles. With that, you can speed them up, you can slow them down, you can open them up. But we all have those chakras, from the crown chakra to the root chakra. And we learn that, but we were talking about the heart chakra. When you're doing that technique, you want to open this heart chakra. Now, how do you open that up? Think of the pinwheel. Think of the pinwheel. It's done with visualization, it's done with your mind. This is all mind, people. That's why we used to call it science of mind. I don't know what they're calling it now, but I know. When I was doing it, it was called science of mind. I think they've changed it to science of mind. They changed it once to religious science or something. Didn't they change the name to religious science?
Yeah, they used both.
No. Well, it's science of mind. And then the third step is connect with God. Leave behind all your cares. Connect with. So that's only three steps there. Focus inward, breathe, and connect with God. So, I think you could do that for 3 to 5 minutes a day. You can do it in the car. You can do it anywhere you want to do it, when you're out taking a walk, when you're doing anything. And see if it doesn't bring something new into your life. into your life. But you have to have a technique. You have to have a firm foundation. And now, we're back to the idea, all this stuff I can read to you, I can do all this stuff, but if it's to be, it's up to you to do it. So if it's to be, it is up to me. And you can use that also as an affirmation. When you want something, you can say to yourself, if it's to be, it is up to me. And then take an action step. Move forward. Because if you take a step towards God, God will take a step towards you. You must take this action step. Do these things. People come to these teachings, they read all these books and so forth, and all books, you know, which I don't like, by the way. I mean, I love books. What I don't like are some of the things when they tell you this. Now you're on this ladder or that ladder, and you're on this level and that level, and you must take 12 steps up and 3 back and hopscotch over here and whatever else. No, you don't have to do any of that stuff. You have to sit and tell yourself that you are one with this thing called God. And what do you have to remember about yourself? Not only that you are one with God, but what? I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. You see? And you must know that you matter enough to be able to do this technique. I matter to myself. God matters. Everything matters. But we fail to do that. We think, oh, well, I don't have time, or I don't have this, or I don't matter enough. You have to tell yourself, I matter enough to be able to do these things. That's building a firm foundation. That's building something for yourself. Many people think that some people are lucky and some people aren't lucky. That some people were born on the right side of the tracks and some people were born on the wrong side of the tracks. You must give those ideas up. You must realize that right here and right now, you are the center of the universe. That God is centered in you and you are centered in God. And that you are the only thing that matters at the present moment. You are the only thing that matters at the present moment. Now, many people go crazy with that, especially if they've been indoctrinated in brand-named religions, because brand-name religions tell you that you must be your brother's keeper. You must be your brother's keeper. It's a wonderful story about that. There was a man who had a wonderful boat, and it was his boat, and he was sailing it all over the place. And then he looked out, and there were people swimming around asking for help. Could you take me aboard? Could you do this? Our boat sank. So the man, being benevolent and so forth, picked these people up, and he kept picking people up and kept picking people up. Now his whole ship is loaded with all these people that he's picked up. Now what are the first thing that the people do? They said, well, we don't want to go over there. We want to go over here. We don't want that done this way. We want that done this way. We want this and we want that and we want this and we want that. You have to have your own boat and you have to stay on it. Don't pick a damn person up. They sunk their own ship. They sunk their own boat. Don't pick them up. Because if you pick them up, you'll sink. If you pick them up, you'll sink. You see, you can't do that. We're not taught that. We're taught, oh, we have to help this person. We have to help that person. You see? Then it becomes the blind leading the blind. You cannot do that. Stay on your own boat. Make it the best boat that you can have and sail where you want to sail. And if somebody's out there screaming for help, steer the other way. Because they will sink you. They will absolutely sink you. And you've probably had many experiences in your life where that has happened. You tried to help somebody, and the more you helped them, the more they pulled you down. The more they pulled you down. You can set an example for people, but you cannot help them. You can help them once, maybe. I had a wonderful friend of mine, an Indian. Mrs. Queen was her name. And she told me this. She said, the best way you can help somebody, Dallas, when they're on a downhill path is to give them a kick. They'll get there quicker. And that's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. If they're on the down, give them a kick. Make them go down. They'll hit bottom faster. But we think that we have to help people. And we can't help people. We cannot help them. We can be nice to them. But if you put them on your boat is going to sink. Keep your boat to yourself. You can say to them, look, my boat is wonderful. I built this boat myself. I'm staying on my own boat. You have the intelligence within you to have your own boat. Don't take mine. Have your own boat. Everyone has to have their own boat. But we are not taught that. You see. We are taught we have to pick up all these people. They will sink you every time. They will sink you every time. If you want to know more about that philosophy and the sinking ship, that was a man by the name of Vernon Howard. I don't know if anyone knows Vernon Howard. He had a wonderful metaphysical church in Denver, Colorado, and he wrote many books. Vernon Howard is his name. You see, this is a no-nonsense teaching. A no-nonsense teaching. If you want to go to a brand name church and figure out how to do all that, whatever they're doing out there, that's all well and good, but you're not here for that. You're here studying this teaching to become self-realized. To become self-realized, you have to know yourself. What do you have to know yourself as? You have to know yourself as God. You have to know yourself as God. So try this technique for 30 days. See if you can't draw into your life what you want. Because absolutely, if it's to be, it is up to me. Or if it's to be, it is up to each and every one of you to do it yourself. And don't think that it's mean and callous and so forth if you can't help people. That's not mean and callous. You're not. You, and we know this, we enable people all the time. And then they can't stand on their own 2 feet. You can teach people to stand on their own 2 feet, but you cannot help them and carry them. They're entirely too heavy. They're entirely too heavy, and then you're not getting out of life what you want out of your own life. It's a completely different way to look at things, but start to look at things that way. But the main thing to look at is what? I am God. I am God. Once you realize that, then what else do you realize? That if you can say to yourself, I am God, then you have to be able to use the mind of God. And you have to be able to give up this small, finite mind and move up in consciousness to a higher reality. You see, we don't see things the way they are. We see things the way we are. We don't see the world the way it is. We see the world the way we are. When you change your thinking about the world, when you change your thinking that it's a benevolent universe that I'm living in, then the world starts to change for you because you're seeing it differently. I have said this 100 times. I'll probably say it 100 or 1,000 more times. You do not see with your eyes. You see with your mind. The eyes have nothing to do with it whatsoever. Anything that comes through your eyes goes to your mind and an interpretation takes place. So how are you seeing the world? How are you seeing yourself? Are you holding yourself always in the highest of esteem? In the highest of esteem. Before I came to class tonight, a man in my complex was yelling and screaming at a young boy who he thought had called the police, and the guy said, "I did not." And he said, "Don't tell me that. You're lying to me. You're doing this and that other thing." And I said, "Now let's calm down. If he says he didn't do it." The man called me later and he said, "Was I wrong?" I said, "No, I'm not saying that you were wrong, but you certainly are always on the defensive and you are ready to pounce and ready to attack. The boy said he didn't do it. You would not accept that." And he said to me, "Oh, did I really do that?" I said, "Oh, yes, you really did that." But I said, "Now, don't punish yourself for it. Realize what you've done. Love yourself. And love yourself out of that." You see, I do many things that are wrong. Many things. And I could hate myself. But I don't. Why? Because I'm in training. I'm in training all the time. You know? One day I may be a master. I'm not a master. But one day I can hold that as an ideal. And I can learn to forgive myself. And I can learn to forgive myself instantly. And then I say to myself, "Now you've learned something, let's not repeat it. Let's not repeat it." Everything becomes a habit that we do. And since the mind always takes the road of least resistance, it wants to take you back to there. This man that I'm talking about in my complex has been this way all his life. He goes to a 12-step program. He's an alcoholic, which I think is all well and good. I keep telling him, I give him all the daily word, I give him all kinds of things to read. But I said, "You can go to that 12-step program from now to doomsday." He's probably going 20 or 30 years by now. "But you have to give up the alcoholic personality." You gave up the alcohol, but you didn't give up the personality. So I say to him sometimes, "You might as well drink." You know? You might as well drink if you're not going to give up the personality. He thinks that's who he is. He thinks he's his... You're not your personality, people. You're not your personality. You are much more than your personality. Your personality is one little facet of who you are. And you can change your personality. You can change your personality. Somewhere along the line, we got stuck with the idea, "Oh, that person has a wonderful personality, and that one has a lousy personality." And that's just the way the dice were tossed, you see? No. If you know that you're a rotten person, you can change it. You can change it, but you have to work on it. It takes a moment to do that. It takes a moment to do that. It was Albert Einstein also who said, God does not throw dice. God does not throw dice. You have to remember that this thing called God has no personality, people. God doesn't have a personality. God is God. If God has a personality, you gave that personality to God. You gave that personality to God. Who gave you your personality? You gave it to yourself, or you allowed your parents and the upbringing that you had and the conditioning of the world to give you your personality. Now you can change your personality if you want. Now you can change your personality. How many people do you hear who say, oh, I wish I had a sense of humor? You do have a sense of humor. Learn to develop it. Learn to develop it. Do you remember what William Shakespeare said? Assume a virtue if you have it not. You must assume that you have that virtue. Everything that you want is inside of you. Everything that you have and want is inside of you. So, if you have a horrible personality and you don't like your personality, change it. Change it. Very simple. Very easy. But don't say, oh, and I hear this. When I grew up, I heard things like, he's just like his father. He's just like his father. If you tell a child that long enough, they're going to be just like their father. But why don't you change that and say, absolutely, I'm just like my heavenly father. You're absolutely right. I'm just like my heavenly father. You have to get rid of this human relationship that you think you have with your mothers and your fathers and so forth. Do you remember when Jesus was 12 years old and he was in the temple and he was teaching? And his family didn't know that he had disappeared. They had started their way home. They looked around and said, oh, where is that child? They had to go back to the temple. And somebody in the temple said to Jesus, your mother and father have come for you. And he said, who calls themselves my mother and father? Who calls themselves my mother and father? We have earthly mothers. We have earthly fathers. But we do not have to become them. We do not have to take on their personalities. We do not have to take on their personalities. We hear that all the time. You're just like your father or that family. They've always been that way. They've always been that way. That family's always been that way. And we think that that's a great thing. It's not a great thing. So say to yourself, I am just like my heavenly Father. I have inherited everything from my Father. My heavenly Father. Instead of thinking on this plane of action, this human plane of action. See, you have to raise above that type of thinking all the time. The human condition is always going to be there. But in order to solve any human condition, you must arise up to a higher state of consciousness. And you do that by knowing what? I am one with this thing called God. God is in me. I am in God, and I am one with the only power the only intelligence and the only life in the universe, and completely interconnected to everything. Completely interconnected to everything. So, if you want anything in your life, sit yourself down and say, I can achieve this, and I know how to achieve it. I do not need to read one more book. The answer is within me, and I know if it's to be, it is up to me to do it. I must take an action step. I must go look. I must go look. How many people, we talked earlier, and Tony, with her job and so forth, you just didn't sit around and wait for a job to come to you, did you? Many people think, oh, well, I'll sit and the phone will ring, or this will come, or somebody. You have to go out and look. You have to go out and look. Years ago, when I lived in West Hollywood, I used to have a lot of clients that were out of work. Young kids that I forget what organization used to send them to me. But anyway, and they were always on the dole. They lived, you know, the county was supporting them or something. Well, I can't find a job. I said, what do you mean you can't find a job? Well, there are no jobs. I said, you know, I walk down the street here and I can, there's in the windows at that time, help wanted, help wanted, help wanted. I said, did you walk down? Well, there's no jobs down there. I said, did you see the sign? No, I didn't see the sign. They don't see the sign because they don't want the job. It's not in their consciousness. What does that prove to you? You don't see with your eyes, you see with your mind. You don't see with your eyes, you see with your mind. I grew up and my mother said to me, if you want to work, you can find a job. And I always remember that. If you want to work, you can find a job. There are always jobs out there. Now, sometimes they may not be the greatest job in the world, but they're a job. And then once you get a job, you start to build a different type of consciousness. You see, if you have a job, your mind says you have a job. If you don't have a job, what is your mind saying to you? You don't have a job. You don't have a job. You have to do it. You have to take an action step. It always has to start with you and the action step to follow. The action step to follow. Back a moment to the boat people. So I can sit here and I can tell you all this stuff, but you must do something about it. You must take an action step. You see, I cannot think for you. I can think for myself. I can't think for you. I can give you ideas. If you want them, you can use them. I cannot breathe for you. You must do that. And I cannot eat for you. If you're going to allow me to eat for you, you're going to starve to death. You see? You have to do it. And then make it fun. Know that you can do it. Why are people afraid that they can't do it? I don't get that one. I just don't get it. You can do it. If it's to be, it is up to me. You do the work. And there's nothing wrong with work, you know. I grew up, everyone worked, and it was a good word. Now it seems to be a naughty word. You work, you know. What else is there? There's work. You get enjoyment from it. You get fulfillment from it. You see? You do it. Take an action step. Use this if you can, and it's on the. You get this. Somebody sent it to me from the internet, and I see here you can do it. You can take any of this. This is a thing like apparently that you can get other information from. So there's tons of things out there that you can do This is a very simple little technique. Try it. I am doing it, and I plan on doing it, because not only do I enjoy it, I love to prove that something works. I love to prove that something works. There's no sense for me to sit up here and talk if I can't do the walk. If I can't do it, why would I tell you how to do it? Why would I talk or do any of this stuff? You understand? Doesn't make sense, does it? Doesn't make sense. So, if it's to be, it is up to me. So start with the idea that you are one with this thing called God, and that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And it will change your life, and it is wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.